Thank you for joining us and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. And if you're just listening to this show for the first time, please know that it is on the air for you by bringing on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases, entertain. Now, our goal for each show is to bring answers and options and to making your lives happier, healthier, and more successful. And remember, if you can't listen live, go to our website at answers.network, and you can browse through a variety of heartfelt and enlightening topics. I am confident there is something you will find to bring greater joy to your life. Now, I also have a favor to ask. Please forward at least one of our shows to your social media group and to someone you know who can benefit from a particular subject. This is just one powerful way that we can make a positive influence in the world together. Now, our guest's latest book, it asks the question and it gives great clarity to this question. What does it take for tolerance, justice, and love to prevail? It also asks, would you defend the indefensible? Well, Lisa Weimer is an award-winning educator with over 20 years of teaching experience. Her second young adult novel and topic of today's show, The Assignment, has received numerous honors, including being named a 2021 Sydney Taylor Notable Book. To date, along with English, The Assignment has been published in Russian, Polish, Italian, and Korean languages. Now, Hello, which is her debut contemporary young adult novel, was named a Goodreads Best Young Adult Novel of the Month. In addition, Lisa has two nonfiction books published and several short stories included in the New York Times bestselling Small Miracles series. She also writes a monthly Kidlit column for the Wisconsin Jewish Chronicle. Lisa received the honor of being named one of the top 100 people positively influencing Jewish life in 2021. And if anybody has listened to this show before, you know that that is what we're looking for, is people that are positively influencing our lives. She is a graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and Lisa has two married sons and lives in Milwaukee, Wisconsin with her husband, Jim. Lisa, welcome to Answers Network.
Thank you so much. It's truly an honor to be here with you today, Alan. Thank you.
Well, it is my pleasure, and I really appreciate and honor the fact that you have chosen to write about a very delicate subject, and I think you have done so so eloquently. And as I was gaining information in regards to it, I learned that the book, The Assignment, is based on true events. So can you give us a recap of those events?
Absolutely. So I happen to have been in the small town of Oswego, New York in early April of 2017. And while I was there, I had some extra time and I went on Facebook and I saw on my feed that there were two brave teens who spoke out against an assignment asking students to support the final solution of the Jewish question, in other words, the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And I clicked on the link and found out that I was in the small town where the assignment had been given, Oswego, New York. Mm-hmm. I read more and more about this assignment and very much wanted to meet those brave teens who spoke up and said that this was wrong. Fast forward 5 hours, I took 4 steps into the bookstore where I was doing a book signing for my debut young adult novel, Hello, and saw one of the brave teens who spoke up. And that is what launched this situation. What I learned about this assignment, so the teacher had asked the students to pretend that they were one of 15 Nazi leaders that came together for the Wannsee Conference. And the real teacher had asked the students to watch a film called Conspiracy, which is considered one of the most accurate depiction of what happened during the Wannsee Conference. Okay. The teacher then asked the students to, he divided the students into two groups. So all the students that were assigned the number one, they had to defend exterminating Jews in a position paper. And all the twos had to defend work camps, ghettos, and sterilization based on the Nazi perspective. So that was just one aspect of this assignment. It was much more in depth, but that became the inspiration for, you know, me to write the novel, The Assignment.
Now, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is that was this teacher at all also trying to show how horrific the entire situation was, rather than only focusing on trying to defend something that is literally indefensible?
So my understanding is that in no way did the real teacher, as in my novel, support the position of the Nazis. But I think that in many ways, this was meant to be a provocative assignment, getting students to support something that they personally may not have agreed with. Unfortunately, what an assignment like this does is it opens up the door for cognitive dissonance and allows for this to actually have validity when it does not.
Right. No, I understand. And in fact, for me, I mean, upon further research, when I was starting to go through this, it turns out that these type assignments regularly occur. So can you give us some sort of real life examples of them? And I would, you know, I assume you also found out that this was not just a one-time situation.
Absolutely. At first I did, you know, when I first learned about the assignment, I thought it was an anomaly. And unfortunately, assignments like this are given on a regular basis, oftentimes going unchallenged and unreported. I find out about assignments that don't hit the news. Someone will contact me via email or over, you know, a social media. So I learned about an assignment that was actually given in San Diego, where a ninth grade English teacher had asked students to give a percentage of blame for the Holocaust based on a number of different groups. And one of those groups were Jews who chose not to, you know, rebel. And that was one group that was to be blamed. And another group was the Jewish God who apparently did not protect, you know, his people. And this was an assignment given in a public school. Unfortunately, I've seen that assignment going across the United States. And, you know, it, as I said, it goes unreported and unchallenged. So that's just one form of many that I have seen.
So how come parents aren't more aware of this? Because, I mean, on something like that, I know that, you know, as a parent, I was very aware of the assignments that my kids were getting because they were bringing them home. We were working on them. And I was a room parent, so when they were young, and I was in their class, so I had a good idea of what was going on. But how is it now how aware are parents or the public at all to these type of assignments?
So I think in middle school, there's a lot more awareness. You know, there was an assignment that was given in Wisconsin where students had to either support, give three good reasons for slavery and three bad reasons for slavery. There's never a good reason for slavery. And I think because it was a middle school, a parent did see the assignment. The child wrote, you know, there's never a good reason for slavery. Another middle school also here in Wisconsin gave an assignment that was inspired or was from an organization called Teachers Pay Teachers. And the students had to write down how they would punish a slave. So those were middle school situations. And I think parents are a little bit more connected. But there are many assignments that are given in high school, and students don't want to feel alienated. They don't want to challenge their teacher. So unless it's something that's so connected to them personally, for example, an assignment that's reprehensible against the Holocaust, if you're not Jewish, you may not necessarily understand all the nuances as to why that assignment may be wrong. Mm-hmm. So if you're not necessarily going to feel comfortable challenging the assignment. And the vast majority of parents of high school students really, in my opinion, don't know the day-to-day assignments that their children are given unless they specifically ask their students, you know, what are you learning? Can you show me what you're doing in class?
Now, I want to go back to the point where you said that one of the students wrote across their paper when they were told to give three reasons for slavery, and they wrote, there is no such thing, or something to that effect. There is no reason. There's no viable reason for slavery. Do we know, did that affect their grade?
To my knowledge, no. And it is, I have to say that I've never had any contact with that particular teacher, but I certainly have heard through the grapevine that that teacher was mortified for giving the assignment. She recognized that she wasn't thinking. And I think, you know, forever she'll be questioning, like, what was I thinking? Why did I do this? And feels a tremendous sense of remorse and understanding that this was wrong. Unfortunately, we don't see that with all teachers who give assignments like this.
Right. Well, along those lines, we have a question or comment that has come in. And again, I want to take this time to thank those people. I know that everybody can't listen right at this time to listen live. So we do get questions like this, oftentimes from teachers. This particular one is from a student or a recent graduate. This one reads, I'm a 24-year-old student who just graduated from a major university. I witnessed such divisive behavior by many of my teachers, one of who told us we were going to educational field trips only to learn that once we arrived that our teacher had called the media who met us at a protest site. We were told to join the protest, and I and some of my classmates discussed later that we felt used and feared that not participating would affect our grades. Ugh. Wow.
I mean, that is so reprehensible and way above any level of what a teacher should ever do. And to put a student in that position, just like these other kinds of assignments, there's actually a term for it. It's called curriculum violence, where a student feels pressured that it harms them emotionally, physically, or spiritually. Mm-hmm. And so this crossed a line. And unless students speak up and go to, you know, administration, then these kind of situations are just going to perpetuate.
Yeah. And I can envision, you know, a student, and I've heard some things similar to that, but a student that is concerned about their grades, you know, is worried. Well, you know, are they just going to go, if I go to the administration, are they just going to go to the teacher and give them a slap on the hand and all of a sudden I'm failing their class? So it seems like in these situations that, you know, there's more power in numbers. So maybe talk to some of the other students that are going through the same thing and do it as a group, because it's harder for you to be separated from everything, or a teacher in this situation to take things out on you. If you go in as a group, I think you'll have more power. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Going in as a group is absolutely critical. At least have one other student that's there to back you up and to express and support your position. Hopefully that person has the same position that and that person went through the same experience. Without a doubt, students, one of the biggest reasons why I hear students say, I didn't speak up, is because they are afraid that they're going to get a bad grade.
Yeah.
And so that is a legitimate concern. On the other hand, to do something that is immoral or reprehensible really damages you much longer than that grade is ever going to impact you.
That's a
and
great
so,
point.
You know, your sense of self-worth, your sense of respect is to put that first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard this, unfortunately, on numerous occasions where students have done things that they really found deeply disturbing, supporting slavery or supporting recreating the Trail of Tears, which is not something you could ever do in a way that is, it's just a horrendous and offensive assignment. But they stay silent and they do it. And they do it because of numerous reasons. They do it, as you said, because of grades. But they're also afraid that maybe they're going to be ostracized by classmates.
Yeah.
Because everyone else is going along with that without. So I don't want to be the one that is, you know, making trouble and causing issues.
Right.
So definitely a problem. However, the reason why I wrote the assignment was to empower our students to find their voices and to know that silence is never the answer. They must always find a way of speaking up. And it doesn't necessarily mean confronting directly. Not everyone feels comfortable in that situation, but writing a letter to administration, getting other students to sign on to that letter.
That's a great point. And as you're saying that, and again, I thank the person that sent in the question, but the thought is that, as somebody who just graduated, maybe put together a group of graduates because you don't have some of the same risks and, you know, get a hold of some of your former classmates and say, you know, do you still have a bad taste in your mouth over this, the fact that they put us in this situation, whatever that is that made you feel so uncomfortable, and send that into the administration, and maybe we can get more of the graduates that are now saying that don't have to worry.
So. When a teacher is still in that environment and an assignment continues to be given, in my opinion, it's never too late to speak up. And I've seen several situations exactly like that. There was a school in the Washington, D.C. area where a ninth grade teacher was teaching sections of Mein Kampf. And a year later, the parent was still so upset. And we had a conversation, a lengthy conversation about this. She ended up going into her daughter's administration and speaking to the principal. And the principal was actually really grateful and said, "We will ensure that this never happens again." So I understand that sometimes in the moment, it seems very scary to speak up. The first thing that I would say is that go and approach the teacher. Just say, you know, I'm not feeling very comfortable with this. This really, you know, is offensive. And this is the reason why I find it offensive. And sometimes teachers are like, oh, my goodness, you're right. Thank you so much for pointing that out. I'm going to change the assignment.
Right.
So you're not going to know your teacher's response until you privately, and I highly recommend that you do it in private in a way that's respectful so that you have this dialogue, create this opportunity for dialogue.
Well, and I like what you just brought up where you mentioned how the parent went in. So for many of the kids, if you're not comfortable with that, even doing it privately, sit down with your parents and talk about it and let them go in like that one did and talk to the principal or whoever it is that's making decisions at that point. And then I think, you know, they can feel a little more comfortable you know, that it's not going to come back on them. Because, I mean, again, when you're 14 years old and you're thinking about these things, you know, we're still trying to decide who we can trust and what we can do and how it's going to relate to us. So, yeah, I like your point. Just, you know, go to your parents then.
Yeah, the lessons that this book shares doesn't just apply to assignments, or, you know, it also applies to if you see students in your school being bullied, how do you handle that situation?
Mm-hmm.
It's if someone is rude or cruel and mean to or makes a joke toward someone that's marginalized, how do you handle that? Do you allow that to continue? Or do you find your voice and realize that it's not okay to allow that to just happen? And I've had the privilege of traveling across the globe, across the United States,
right.
And I see students everywhere fearful of speaking up when they see any kind of injustice. So we need to take that power away from those who are going to use their intimidation or use fear as a way to control people that really want to do the right thing. And so that's something that I feel very strongly with, and it goes hand in hand with having the courage to speak up when you receive an assignment like this. We see situations like this every single day in school, and the vast majority of, you know, bullying situations go unchallenged and unreported, just like assignments like this.
Is your book being provided into schools? Because it would seem to me that would be one of the greatest ways to get this information out there, because now you not only have, you know, the students receiving the book, but you have the teachers as well. And it seems like that would certainly be a positive. Is there anywhere that's happening? And if not, how do we do that? How do we make it happen?
So I am really tremendously grateful to the teachers, you know, across the United States who are utilizing this in their schools. They're utilizing it to teach Holocaust education and connect it to what's going on in society today. They're utilizing it to empower students to be upstanders and to speak out against injustice. We have seen the incredible impact that this book is having on teachers and in students. And I'll give you one example. There was a school with 101 seventh graders. Before they read this book, only 3 out of 101 said that they would speak out against any injustice. When they were done, that number increased to 82 out of 101. So we're seeing how it is changing behavior. I've heard from teachers who have said, my students are treating each other with so much more respect and with kindness and compassion. And that's just, you know, 2 out of many examples that I'm seeing. We have an extensive curriculum guide and something that I think is incredibly exciting, which was a teacher had said, would you create a Google document where other teachers can share their ideas on how they're teaching this book and contribute to, you know, ideas and activities. We now have 17 pages of information to share in addition to our extensive curriculum guide.
That's making quite a Google Doc.
it really is. And as far as making this book available to schools, we do have a foundation that is helping to pay for schools that would like sets of the book. We do have a foundation that is offering free sets of this book for classrooms where needed. And, you know, there are some schools that cannot afford to update their curriculum and really want to utilize this book. So I don't know how long those funds are going to last through this foundation, but we do have them available. And that's really tremendous. And we're seeing that this book is being endorsed in, through Holocaust education centers across this country. And there are a few of them that are also making the book available to schools in their states.
All right. We're speaking with Lisa Weimer. We are talking about her new book, The Assignment. And it really goes into what does it take for tolerance, justice, and love to prevail? It's a wonderful book. Again, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Lisa, I'd like you to talk a little bit more about some of the things that you're seeing now that sort of is suggesting that there are things going on now that we want to make sure that we don't ever go back to. So again, everybody, we're going to take a break. You're listening to or watching Answers Network.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services and West Shield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com.
We're back. We're speaking with Lisa Weimer. And Lisa, when we went to break, and I asked, what are some things that worry you of what we're seeing today in society?
The rise in anti-Semitism, we have reached a level that is close to pre-World War II, and it's very frightening. And this is not something that we should just be concerned about within the Jewish community, but the entire world community needs to be concerned about this kind of hate, because it has really taken a stronghold and become normalized. We're seeing very early on in schools and middle schools where students are drawing swastikas or giving the Nazi salute or making racist comments that are so inappropriate. And we need to really help our students to understand mm-hmm. that this is not okay. But when you have people like Ye making statements, we saw this, about a month ago, and it continues today, where it normalizes anti-Semitism and glorifies this kind of hate, then it just spreads. So we need to take that power away, and we need to express very adamantly within the Jewish and non-Jewish community that this any kind of hatred, including anti-Semitism, is unacceptable and will not be tolerated.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. What do you feel that the educators are doing now to address this sort of proliferation of racist and anti-Semitic assignments? And I know that that's only a small portion of it, but I believe in most any situation that if we can start with our young people, and so by doing this in schools, that's where we're going to make the biggest difference. And that's where we're going to be able to make the biggest changes, is starting with younger people. So what are some of the things that the educators are doing now? And what are some of the things you think that we can still do, or that parents can continue to push schools to do?
So I think that one of the biggest issues that I'm seeing is that teachers are teaching assignments that have been around for a very long time. And the people who created those assignments oftentimes find out that they are inappropriate. For example, mm-hmm. there was an assignment where it was for an AP World History class, and the students had to recreate the 1932 Reichstag election and support the Nazi position. Now, the response from the teacher was, this assignment was given by a really reputable company. We've been teaching it for years. When the parent contacted the company that created this curriculum, they said, oh, we discontinued that assignment years ago for the very reasons that you said. But if our school systems don't have the finances to update that material, we need our teachers to use, you know, their own sense of what is appropriate and right. to not just continue to teach it because they've done it for years. There is no consumer law, to my knowledge, that has that gives assignments or the people that create these mm-hmm. assignments the responsibility to recall or to replace these assignments. Unlike, of course, our consumer products that may have, you know, a defect. So this is an issue.
Yeah. No, I like the comparison because, you know, that we have all these laws that make sure that when we find out that something is defective, if something is dangerous, they take it off the market. But yet, why would we then keep feeding our kids this things that is both, you know, dangerous and divisive? Yes. Now, I know that you speak quite a bit at schools. And again, I believe that the more that we can make changes at an earlier age, the better it's going to work for everybody. What advice do you give the students, you know, when you're speaking, and what sort of questions do they have of you when you are on the podium?
So one of the things that I say to students is raise your hand if you have ever heard the phrase, snitches get stitches. And every student,
yeah.
for the most part, has heard this phrase.
Yes.
And this is a phrase that's utilized because the person who said it has done something wrong. So what I say to students is that anyone that says snitches get stitches, that this is a very cowardly thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why it's so cowardly is, as I said, they know they did something wrong. They're trying to intimidate and use fear to keep the people that are, you know, doing the right thing from doing it. So they're silencing them. And they're not being brave and courageous to admit what they've done wrong. Now, every single one of us, everyone that's listening, has done something wrong in their life. And we also know that if you do not acknowledge what you've done and own up to it, that eventually someone's going to find out that you did something wrong and you're going to get into even worse trouble. So mm-hmm. I encourage students to not allow those bullies to have their power, to have that courage to speak up when they see something wrong, to not be intimidated by those who are acting cowardly, by not owning their mistakes. And I think we have to shift that power away from those bullies and give it to the people that really want to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And every time I've talked about this with students, it resonates with them, and suddenly they feel empowered, like, oh wow, why did I allow that person to manipulate me and mm-hmm. and to control my behavior? So that is just great. One aspect of my message.
Now, what are some of the most interesting questions that some of the kids have asked you while you're on the podium?
You know, it's so basic, really, that there's a lack of understanding of what the Holocaust, you know, what was the Holocaust? They don't understand the depth of that history and how it is impacting society today, how it's influencing, you know, our behavior and our actions. So, you know, they will ask me, well, what is it that we can do? How can I, you know, not feel intimidated, or can I feel like I'm not going to be alienated from my peers? And as a matter of fact, the reason why I started speaking about snitches get stitches was because a student actually asked me, what do you say when you get that? So they influence how I go into schools and what I present, those questions.
Well, here's another question for you then. This one reads, as I read your show summary, I thought immediately about an amazing quote by Dr. Martin Luther King. And this is in quotes. If we are not careful, our colleges, and then the writer has put in parentheses, and I add all schools, now back into the quote, will produce a group of close-minded, unscientific, illogical propagandists consumed with immoral acts. Be careful, brethren. Be careful, teachers. End of quote. Please know that I am so looking forward to reading your book, as now more than ever, we need to promote compassion, tolerance, and fostering kindness to each other. This is from Helen in New York.
Wow. Yeah, it's, I am shocked, but not surprised by what I am seeing in our schools and on social media, the kind of hate that gets propaganda, you know, the propaganda that we're seeing, which is one of the things that I feel strongly about sharing with students, making that connection. So I'll show them propaganda from World War II, and then I'll ask them the question, how many of you think that you're exposed to propaganda today? And sometimes I have to define propaganda because they don't even know what that is. Then I show them a short clip from The Social Dilemma, which was a TV documentary on Netflix. These kids' eyes, I mean, they don't realize how much they are being fed propaganda every single day, and how hatred spreads and lies spreads, according to this documentary, six times faster than truth. And so we need our students to be aware of this, because otherwise they're going to continue to you know, share information that is false and harmful. And that's what we're seeing, you know, with topics that are related to the Holocaust, like Holocaust denial. And it's definitely concerning.
You know, and you just mentioned the Holocaust denial. Them talking about their children's schooling and how there is a movement to remove the Holocaust completely from their textbooks.
I'm horrified.
Yes.
And I'm horrified. Yeah.
And so my question then is, so how do you recommend that we accurately depict the horrific parts of our history as humans, so that we don't repeat them, and yet at the same time, we need to also keep them from being, you know, over dramatized or being over publicized in such a way that, as you were saying, an assignment where you have to somehow figure out how to defend this. What's your suggestion? And again, having just had this conversation with some Europeans that are so upset over the fact that they're being told, not asked, that the Holocaust is going to be removed from their children's books.
Why I find this so shocking is that we are seeing the same influences of anti-Semitic, racist rhetoric being, as I said, normalized across this globe. Mm-hmm. And it, the Holocaust, even though it was, you know, 85 plus years ago when this happened, those influences, those experiences continue to impact our society today. It is not in the past. It continues to impact policy. It continues to impact individuals. Mm-hmm. We often think of history as a date on a timeline. And once it's over, it's over. And that is a wrong understanding of mm-hmm. history. So okay. I think we need to understand that that learning about history is more than just saying we have to study history. If we don't study history, we're doomed to repeat it. That has become very cliche. We have to understand that even within our own lives, something that's happened to us that hurt us deeply and influenced us in a way that changed how we interact with other people, that was in the past, but yet today, we are treating individuals differently or feel differently about individuals because we were hurt in the past. It's not the past, it's now. And yeah. So if we don't learn this, if we don't understand what environment set up this kind of fascist environment to give, total power to one individual who then utilized propaganda to get an entire, population and other countries to murder not only 6 million Jews, but then 5 million other people because they disagreed or were different, and to spread lies, it's just going to continue. Yeah. So we have to speak up. We have to educate those who are in power and to let them know that this isn't okay. And we cannot erase history.
Yeah,
it's critical.
I understand. And that was, again, the conversation that I had with the Europeans is they were upset about it. I was upset about it. But unfortunately, there are powers to be trying to do these things. We have another question that's come in, and I've looked. We have about 5 minutes. My great-grandmother was a Holocaust survivor. She told us that as a teenager, some of her German friends were enlisted into the Hitler Youth and how it changed them. A few months ago, I read an article entitled The Untold Story of Hitler Youth. It spoke about the extreme brutality of these kids and how it serves as a reminder that our children are what society makes of them. And if society chooses to fill them with hate and lies, everyone will pay a steep price. My comment is that I am seeing something similar in our schools today. Instead of erasing lines, the system appears to be doing the opposite. It says, sorry to get on a rant here, but what are your thoughts on what appears to be indoctrination rather than education? And this is from Nora in Minnesota.
I think what I'm not necessarily seeing this indoctrination. What I'm seeing is that there are students that are getting away with hateful behavior. And situations where their peers aren't calling them out, that it becomes normalized on social media, that within the classroom, the students might make a comment that's rude or cruel, they're taught things or not taught things, mm-hmm. Because it's sometimes a lack of education, of knowledge that we're seeing. Without a doubt, these issues of, we don't have a system of you know, what Hitler Youth went through, you know, during the time of Nazi Germany. Without a doubt, that's why it's so critical to get a book like this into schools and as a part of curriculum and helping students to find their voice. I think the vast majority want to be, you know, upstanding students and don't want to be indoctrinated into or to normalize that kind of behavior. Kids know, you know, generally, I think really know, you know, the difference between what's right and wrong, but it's got to be modeled. And we need to empower those that to have that voice and to say, this isn't okay. Without a doubt, I acknowledge that concern. It is frightening. And we have to do better. We have to do better in our schools. Yeah. And I'm working on it.
And it's so appreciated. Again, we've only got a couple minutes, but so what are you working on next? And what information do you want to get out to people to where they can contact you or they can make a positive difference on their own?
So people can reach out to me at lisaweimer.com. My email is on there. I would be thrilled to connect with anyone. And I have a picture book that is coming out in the fall of 2023 called, we've changed the title a couple of times. It's called The Mysterious Outings, A Tale of Giving. That's the title of the book. So it is about giving anonymously and how that, you know, helps the people that are receiving it in a way that is done with humility and respect. So I'm very excited about that. And I just think it's really important for us to take the power away from those who are, you know, hateful, cruel, and mean. Silence only, as Elie Wiesel said, you know, the most famous, I believe, of Holocaust survivors. He said, silence only helps the tormented, never the, you know, or it always helps the tormentors, the tormented, never the tormentors. So I'm saying this backwards. I apologize. No, but that's a great quote from Elie Wiesel, and I recommend people look it up.
Okay. And then, so the website, for those of you that can write things down right now, it's because of the spelling, you might not normally do it this way, but it's so it's LIZAWEIMER.com if you want to go to the website. For those of you that are driving, we will also have it on our Answers Network site, so you can pull up any information there on Lisa as well as on the book. Lisa, thank you so much for everything that you're doing. You're making a positive difference in the world, and we need more like you.
Thank you. Just to clarify, it's LIZAWIEMER.
W-I-E. Oh, wait a minute.
No worries.
Thank you.
We got it.
Okay, you're right. I said it. Yeah, W-I-E-M-E-R. Yes. Sorry about that.
No worries. No worries at all. We both got a little tongue-tied at the end here.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much.
And, it's an honor.
And please, for anybody out there, don't just read the book. Give it to your children. Give it to a teacher. Get it to people to where more young people are going to start using their voice in a manner that will help all of us.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. And now for everybody, be with us next week when we're joined by Shannon Byrne Susco as she discusses her new book, Metronics, One United System to Grow Up Your Team, Your Company, and Your Life. And be with us as well to go to our website where you can visit our archives of past interviews at Answers Network. And while on the site, please just subscribe to the show. You can do it through Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, YouTube, Rumble, Spreaker, and so many more. And if you like what you hear, please leave a review. It'll help us reach more people, and I want you to know we greatly appreciate it. And the next time you're on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, please remember, stop by our page, check out some of our latest posts. If you like them, please like us and spread the word. Together, we can all make a positive difference. So for everybody, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers Network.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.